This chapter today of the Holy Gospel, John 14, it is so important for us, for all of us, in that Jesus, on the very night that he gave us the new covenant, the gift of his body and blood in the Eucharist, he also told the apostles exactly where he and they were going. But also, without a doubt, he told them his true identity. And Jesus offered to all of his disciples the wonderful gift of his comfort and help to take them through their trials. And I want you to please remember that the word disciple means follower. And that word still holds true today. Whether it's a 9 o'clock service, a 10:30 service, an 11:30 service, whatever the service is, if people are in church today, I pray that they are followers of Jesus. And that means that they are disciples. It's a great difference between an apostle and a disciple. An apostle can be a disciple, but a disciple cannot be an apostle unless they are chosen, handpicked by Jesus. And Jesus is very clear about who he considers his disciples. He says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." That's from today's Holy Gospel, John chapter 14, verse 21. Now remember, the time and the setting of this is the first century, and the masculine pronoun is always used. But it's inferred that the feminine is also included. As in John 3:16-18, Jesus says who's included and who's not included. He says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." That's from today's Holy Gospel from John 14. And I find that this goes right along in parallel with the words that Jesus told Nicodemus. And this is where I'm going to stop at the end of every verse. John 3:16, 17, and 18. The world loves to stop at the end of John 3:16. And if you know it, you can say it along with me. "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." How awesome. I mean, how awesome that even at in football games in the end zone, there was a sign and somebody with a rainbow wig sat there. John 3:16. Those words are true and they're very important. But so are 17 and 18. And the world loves to stop at the end of 16. So what's 17 say? "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Now that's not so bad. And people will go along with that for a little bit. But it's 18 that knocks the point home. And I want you to listen, and listen hard to these words. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned." Did you hear that? Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. People will listen to John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and they'll stop there. They don't want to hear, "No one comes to the Father but through me." They don't want to go there. Both of those statements by Jesus clearly sets the ground rules. How hard is it to understand that believing in Jesus is the key to eternal life in him? These are not just statements, but clear promises as we walk with Jesus. And my friends, Jesus' promises are true, and he always keeps his promises. Jesus promises to come for his people and to answer when we call on him. The counselor that Jesus promised when he said, "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. John 14, verse 26. The Holy Spirit has come as promised and has taken up residence in our hearts, continually teaching us what God wants and bringing peace to our souls. You know as well as I do that we all face many difficulties, both because of sin in our own lives and the incredible evil that surrounds us. We're reminded here that God is just as real and as close to us as Jesus was to the disciples almost 2,000 years ago. That much is true. Even when we're so entrenched in our problems that we forget to call on Jesus and call on the Holy Spirit. Problems Jesus can't take from you unless you call on him. How many times have I taught over the years, the nearly 4.5 years that I've been here, have I said the 3-word prayer, help me, Jesus. And it's always followed by thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes and has taken up residence in our hearts. And you know as well as I do that we face many difficulties. Our faith can be smothered at times, the problems that we have, the problems that surround us, that we lose sight of the fact that a Savior is with us. The Apostle Paul reminds us, and these are really important words, the confidence that we can have in one person, in Jesus Christ. And all we need to do are remember these words from Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's truth. There's no attempt here to make the kind of compromises that so many Christians will settle for, bending over backwards to discover places where they and the world are not so far apart. We're not supposed to compromise on our faith. Either we believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life, or we believe that he's something else. It's often the right thing to do in the world, but the fact remains that much of the world to this day does not love Jesus and does not keep his word. To this day, you just have to look around you. Those who do believe and stay close to Jesus and refuse to settle for a second best compromised discipleship will find that his peace comes to them as a gift, a peace of a kind that the world can never give. I stand in a pulpit of St. Andrew's Anglican Church, in the Anglican Church of North America, that refused to compromise on the Word of God. I don't have to tell you. You all met and made the decisions to bring us here, so I don't have to go through that. Some of that is pain, and some of that is rejoicing. But we have the freedom to worship in truth and on the blessing of God's word right here. Jesus said in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, and do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. This peace will assure them of Jesus' presence and support, filling them with the knowledge that the Jesus they know and love is truly one with the Father. Now you have to remember, Jesus spoke those words, and what was going on? At this time, they're in the upper room, and they had already received his precious body and blood. But it is now just a short period of time before Jesus is arrested and taken from them. And Jesus is trying to prepare them for what is to come, even though they truly have no idea what is ahead of them and the depth of the separation that is about to take place. Jesus told them, "You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Now, as closely as they followed Jesus for the 3 years that they walked with him, I truly believe that they did not fully understand. They still didn't get it. And they would not really until Jesus arose from the dead, ascended to the Father before their very eyes in their midst, and then would fully understand just 10 days later when they received the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom on the day of Pentecost. How wonderful. We'll celebrate the day of Pentecost here at St. Andrew's just 2 weeks from today. And I urge you all to wear something red for the Holy Spirit. I will. And I hope you join me. Isn't it true that sometimes we need a little help in understanding and strengthening of our belief? And that's where the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes in. I wanted to repeat to you what Jesus said in verse 26. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit. Now, let's stop here for a second. What is a counselor? Sometimes people will go to a counselor for help, for guidance, to get them right on the right track. But if you think in legal terms, what is a counselor? A counselor is to defend you, to take your case, to stand before a judge and defend you and say, not guilty. And the judge would say, counselor, approach the bench. Okay? So this is a term we need to be really in touch with. The counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Folks, if you're searching for answers, struggling with your faith, or even wrestling with doubt, you need to only call on the Holy Spirit, whom we received in the sacrament of baptism, to help us and strengthen us to be walking with Jesus. To keep all these words in context, we'll need to look at the last two verses of this chapter that are right after today's Holy Gospel. Jesus said, "I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of the world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." You know what? I've read this so many times and I never really heard those last words. Come now, let us leave. I always thought that Jesus' prayer in chapters 15, 16, and 17 were in the upper room. But no, they must have been on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, on the way to the Mount of Olives, walking across the Kidron Valley. I never got that before until preparing for this sermon. Jesus said, "Come now, let us leave." So Jesus is preparing his apostles and disciples for what is about to unfold, and that the prince of this world will begin his final onslaught on the life of Jesus. And so I want to repeat these words. Jesus said, "He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me." Jesus said that Satan has no hold on Jesus. And as believers of Jesus Christ, we can rebuke him in our lives and tell him to get lost, to depart from us by the power of the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean that sincerely. If he's getting under your skin, in the name of Jesus, Satan, be gone. He has to obey. There's power in that name. When we give our lives to Jesus as Savior of the world, we receive the kind of hope that gives us strength for today, and we're empowered to put our daily struggle into perspective. We don't need to be tentative when we know that we have God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit walking with us, stride for stride. We don't need to waver. And let me close again with Jesus' words to those who followed him that night. Come now, let us leave. Those words show us that they began that journey to the Garden of Gethsemane and ultimately Jesus to his journey on the cross. Through these words, Jesus encourages us to be walking with him, with Jesus, the one true light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.